In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for hour number two for Tuesday, May 18th, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You have been hearing on Federal News Radio about the Management of Change Conference that's coming next week. It begins May 23rd. And I have a number of guests in studio to talk about it and what you'll hear when you go to MOC and why it's important. I'm happy to welcome from left to right across my radio dial, Mary Souther, Vice President of Business Development for Federal Civilian Homeland Security and Citizen Services Units at INDIS. Thank you for being here today, Mary. Nice to have you. Prashant Gaur is the Director of Enterprise Integration at the Defense Business Transformation Agency. And also happy to welcome Gary Galloway, Deputy Director in the Office of Information Assurance at the State Department. All of you, thank you very much for coming in today. Prashant, I think we'll start with you. Give us the kind of the elevator speech about MOC and what the whole point of it is, what people will get out of it.
Sure. As some of you might be aware, American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council, we have been around for more than 30 years. We have been having this conference uninterrupted for the last 30 years. It's a great conference in terms of bringing industry and government together to talk about the issues of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of exclusive. We try to get a small group together. But if you're not registered, anybody who's listening, please do come.
Okay. And where's registration available? What's the website? And I'll get it linked up, too.
Yeah, it is on our website. And if you go to actonline.org, you'll find it out there. But
okay.
We'll send it to you.
All right. So the conference starts next week. And Mary, the theme this year of the conference is building on 30 years of collaboration. I think that a lot of people, both in and out of government, would be surprised to know that collaboration has been emphasized, has been important inside government agencies, especially federal agencies, for that period of time. I think we get hung up on Web 2.0 fun stuff and don't think about the idea that this is something that agencies have been at least paying attention to for a really long period of time.
Yes, exactly. And really what collaboration is, the dialogue between industry and government. And mm-hmm. that's the reason why these organizations were formed. And that's why we're all active participants, because of the value that we get in the dialogue between industry and government.
Where are we today that we weren't? What are we doing today that we weren't 30 years ago or even maybe 5 years ago?
I think the emphasis on transparency, so the real openness, and IT and the tools have facilitated that, but mm-hmm. I think both parties have been working towards that goal. But there really is the tools to drive down deeper and have insight into what each other are trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Gary, when you think about what's been going on, both the industry-to-agency relationship and the agency-to-agency relationship and even inside an organization like State, what's foremost in your mind as far as the challenges that you deal with on an ongoing basis when it comes to collaboration and being able to communicate, get people communicating to each other?
As I rose up to the more senior ranks in government, what I discovered was that acquisition was a problem insofar as I felt like we were throwing requirements over the transom and we were getting answers back from industry.
Mm-hmm.
I think an organization like IAC, and particularly events like Management of Change, help to tear down those barriers where you get to talk about the things that government needs and you get to hear private industry talk about how they might solve your problem.
Mm-hmm. A lot of these issues are really, Prashant, come down to the person-to-person, the people relationships. And we get hung up, I think, a lot of times in conversations about requirements, creep. And I just talked about that in the Pentagon the last hour with Dale Church. And what's on a piece of paper or now what's in an email and those kinds of things. And it really boils down to the person-to-person, the communications and the relationships, doesn't it, a lot of these things?
Yes, it does. And in terms of how we run ACT-IAC, we focus on the issues. We obviously want to be slightly careful once an acquisition is on the street.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of conversation which can happen before the acquisition comes on in terms of shaping where should the government go? What's the strategy? And that is where a conference like MOC comes in.
Do you think, I'll throw this out to all three of you, do you think the agencies do a good enough job of letting industry know ahead of time, as you say, before the RFP comes out, This is something that we're going to be working on. This is a priority for us, and we want to get your feedback as to how we can proceed. Not necessarily, I don't want you to tell us how to write the RFP, but what should we be thinking about that maybe we're not? Is there enough of that kind of collaboration? I'll start over here.
There is, and certain agencies do it very, very well.
Who does it well?
I would say the Department of Transportation and the Eagle Procurement. I think they really are facilitating industry feedback. And another great example is GSA and the Better Buy program. It's a program that the two organizations, ACT IACT, have been involved with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a daily basis. They're tweeting updates. We can go to their dashboard and their websites and put our information in if we think they're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really as important because you're right. They need to know post. It helps them post-award as well, managing the program.
Yeah.
There are just unintended consequences to things that they put in the requirements that we can help them identify.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, Mary, but so many times we hear about the complaints about the agents, not naming the agencies that are not doing it well, but just that there are so many, this is one area where there are so many problems. And so it's good to know that there are models out there. Sometimes I think it can get discouraging for people to say, well, where do I go to find out who's even doing it right to get started? So it's good to know that there are some structures in place. That somebody's even starting it out, starting the process out the right way. Prashant, what are your thoughts about that? Are the agencies effective, do you think, at that ongoing dialogue instead of just coming out with the RFP and now tell us what we need?
There is a lot of sensitivity on this issue. I think as a government, we are doing a far better job than we did maybe 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of scope for improvement. Because if you look at the administration, everybody wants to reduce the cycle time in terms of how quickly IT can deliver business results.
Mm-hmm.
So the more communication we have, the better it is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, whether we look at Better Buy, and that's a project which we are doing. And again, another project which we together as an organization is doing is on Vista, which is the Veteran Affairs System.
Yeah.
And here we are collecting all the great ideas from the industry prior to doing any acquisition at all in terms of how should the government proceed in terms of modernizing Vista.
Yeah.
So we are all collectively, whether it's the Department of Defense, whether we as a voluntary organization are taking the steps. So it's a great improvement.
And Gary, this is really important in your area of expertise because as the timeline for technology just to last and not be outdated continues to compress, we're seeing situations that where agencies, the technology that they want is outdated by the time the RFP even goes out the door. So things are really compressing in that area. So I imagine that's something that is really critical for you.
Francis, not only is that true, but particularly in the area of IT security and information assurance, where I work, we're in a constant war against the adversaries who are trying to do us harm over our information systems. So we really need to know about the latest and greatest tools and techniques that are available to help fight this problem. And the only way you can know about them in a timely fashion is to become familiar with the companies and the individuals that are coming up with these ideas to fight cyber war.
Mm-hmm. Is it getting easier to do that, though, because the overwhelming consensus among people like you and your colleagues seems to be that the quality of off-the-shelf stuff is getting exponentially better as time goes on. Prashant, you're nodding your head yes as I'm saying this. I'm going to ask you to jump in on this too. But is it getting easier for you to get the tools that you need just because the stuff that's coming off the shelf doesn't have you don't have to start from scratch every time that there's something that you need to make your system more secure?
Yes. On the one hand, it is easier to implement off-the-shelf software. However, the customization of that software to a given environment continues to be very difficult, and the individuals who have that level of expertise are very difficult to identify, engage, and retain.
Mm-hmm. And the retain is always the element of it that I come back to. The old axiom in sales is it's easier to keep a customer than to find a new one, and it's the same idea in HR. Prashant, your thoughts about the proliferation of off-the-shelf stuff that makes it easier for you to do your job instead of having to start from scratch as we were doing 5-10 years ago?
I think it's great. I mean, if you look at what service-oriented architecture talks about, so long as we all stick to standards, it's much easier than, again, it was 10 years ago, mm-hmm. to take pieces and pull it together. I think we on the government also have the opportunity as well as the challenge to make what we do far more transparent so that the industry can contribute to what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So it is definitely a great improvement.
Mary, on the vendor side, what is the key to being able to what feedback do you need to get from an agency to understand that you're going to then be able to turn around and provide them the answers that you need? There was a long time where a lot of companies, people would say to me kind of off the record, they tell me what they think they need and it doesn't have anything to do with what they actually really need. Is that changing, do you think?
I think so. And I think as we move towards performance-based contracting, they're telling us their goals and objectives and what they need us to do, not mm-hmm. telling us exactly what widget to provide.
Yeah.
And it allows us to provide a solution and address what we try to really uncover in the process is what is important to them. What are the key things you can't live without? Mm-hmm. And then solve that.
I want to follow up on that idea when we come back from the break. I have a panel of experts in studio with me today talking about collaboration and IT issues. And in fact, talking about the Management of Change Conference coming to Washington next week. And more details on that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. My guests in studio, Mary Souther of Indus, Gary Galloway of the State Department, and Prashant Gaur of the Defense Business Transformation Agency. Back in a moment to continue our conversation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Human Capital Solutions Report provided by Aon Consulting.
The business world seems to move faster every day, and success requires that organizations respond and adapt to rapid-fire change. After a recent merger, two of the world's biggest banks manage large-scale change with the help of rapid alignment solutions developed by Aon Consulting. By concentrating on middle managers, the layer where strategic initiatives often unravel, Aon Consulting says program effectiveness can be dramatically improved.
Aon Consulting partners with leading employers worldwide to turn strategies into success. With its vast federal and commercial experience, Aon Consulting provides solutions and best practices to help your agency be more efficient, improve delivery, and achieve its goals. With new leadership and new missions, federal agencies need support now more than ever. By engaging its national network of unmatched talent, innovation, and operational excellence, Aon Consulting delivers distinct value to its clients. To learn more, visit aon.com/federal. That's aon.com/federal.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Eric.
A multinational report is expected out this week that will point the finger at North Korea for the sinking of a South Korean warship. 46 sailors were killed on March 26th when a still unexplained explosion in the Yellow Sea split the 12-ton Corvette-class ship in half. The Cheonan, which is about the size of a U.S. frigate, was about 2 miles off the shore at the time of the sinking. Investigators think the North Korean military launched a torpedo. I'm J.J. Green.
If you've ever stumbled in the dark, did you ever stop to think how difficult it is for our military to see what they need to see and nothing else during night warfare? Airink has. Airink provides design solutions for night vision devices, helmet-mounted displays, and laser eye protection, just to name a few. They help all branches of our armed forces to see better, fly and land faster, and most importantly, more safely. Airink helps today's military forces become ready for tonight's warfare challenges. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Ugh, would you look at this bill?
Tired of paying way too much to your alarm company and not getting real security service? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has more than 40 years of industry-leading experience and was recently named Dealer of the Year out of over 30,000 companies. Ackerman has its own UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Put simply, with Ackerman Security Systems, systems, you get the most qualified professionals in the industry monitoring your home for just $18.95 a month. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. So whether you want a new system or want to switch to reliable monitoring for just $18.95 a month, call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com. Federal employees, call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for this afternoon's Dorabeck Insider. She was GSA's chief financial officer. Now she heads up GSA's Office of Government-Wide Policy. And in her first interview, Kathleen Turco will tell us what OGP means for feds and cybersecurity and embedded systems. Many people are focused on cyber attacks. We'll tell you what embedded systems are and how you can protect your agency. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We are talking about the Management of Change Conference, and I have been very gently reminded that it's in Philadelphia next week. It's not here in D.C., so it's about a two-hour trip up 95. It's easy. And Philadelphia is great this time. It's not as hot as it's going to be here next week, so it's a great place to be. The website is actgov.org to find out more about the Management of Change Conference, and we'll get information about it linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. Mary Souther of Indus, we were talking before the break about the ability of agencies to kind of weigh out the merits of proposals instead of evaluating them just on cost and or just on the widgets involved. And you talked about performance-based contracting. What's the role of an organization like ACT in working with the agencies in a collaborative effort to help them to get the tools that they need to do that kind of evaluation, which sometimes can seem not really objective? It can seem subjective, I guess.
Yes. And there's several ways that our organization helps. We have shared interest groups that drill down on these type of topics, and they'll prepare a white paper on risk management or service level agreements, and how do agencies develop service level agreements, how do they measure against them, because it can be additional workload on them to put them in place, but it makes their job easier mm-hmm. over the long run. And as well as task force that we put in place to address issues, because our agenda is government driven, we address topics that are of interest to them.
Mm-hmm. Gary, you and Mary are the co-chairs for MOC next week. What are you most excited about personally about what's going to go on there? What are you most looking forward to?
Well, as government co-chair of the conference this year, I was really focused on getting new faces in front of the audience of government and industry people who attend the conference. I wanted them to see people who had just come into the government, who had just risen to senior leadership positions in the government. I wanted them to see people who are not on the circuit, so to speak, and to give those individuals an opportunity to get their message out.
And what was the kind of reception that you got both from the people who are on the circuit, as you say, at maybe being passed over, and from the people who, I guess, were probably in some cases surprised that you wanted to hear what they had to say?
Well, I think there was some surprise, but I think that you're going to find that there are individuals who are going to demonstrate their enthusiasm and excitement about being in front of this kind of crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I found nothing but enthusiasm among the panelists who were asked to participate.
Mm-hmm. As I look down over the agenda here on the website, Prashant, you really are hitting the issues that people are talking about amongst themselves
New technology approaches, increasing citizen engagement, a lot of things that the administration has talked about as priorities, and a lot of things that the agencies were talking about before this administration came in. It would be great if we could do some of these things, kind of the new ideas, new voices that Gary's talking about as younger people come into government and say, why can't I do this at work? I can do it at home, or I did it at my last job, that kind of thing. But again, this goes back to what we talked about in the first segment, and that is a lot of this stuff is people. A lot of this stuff is what's between the ears and not what the policies are and so on. Is there going to be a subtext, do you think, about how people can change mindsets in their organizations, not just change policies?
Yes, and in fact, I would take off from what Gary said, not just at the Management of Change Conference, but in terms of what our organization does. We are paying a lot of attention to what we call the upcoming leaders, because I think Gary used a great phrase, people who have been in circuit. That's great. I mean, we obviously have benefited a lot. But there's a whole host of new ideas coming. I'm kind of surprised about how many people are coming from the industry to the government, I being one of them, for instance. So there's all these new ideas. There is new thinking in terms of the administration, what we want to do. So, yes, it's all between the ears. And we are playing our role in terms of making that happen and convert that into reality. So, in fact, I would say we have a fairly unique position in terms of bringing the industry and the government together to talk about some of these things.
You've insourced yourself, so to speak.
Come into
government from the private sector.
Absolutely.
That's one of the topics that you're going to take up next weekend. That's what I want to talk about when we come back from the break on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. We're talking about the Management of Change Conference happening next week, and you'll get more in a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Profile America, Tuesday, May 18th. It was on this day 30 years ago that one of the most spectacular events in U.S. natural history occurred, as Mount St. Helens in Washington State erupted, sending steam and ash more than 11 miles into the sky. The eruption and resulting landslide lowered the top of the mountain by 1,300 feet. The landslide moved at up to 150 miles an hour and buried some areas up to 600 feet deep, killing millions of fish and wildlife. While 200 square miles of rich forest were turned into a moonscape, only 57 people were killed in the blast. That's the same number of fatalities caused by tornadoes alone in the month of February 2 years ago. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
The government should have done more to make sure safeguards were in place for offshore drilling. That from Interior Secretary Ken Salazar testifying on Capitol Hill about the massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. He's promising an overhaul of the agency that regulates those issues.
We need to clean up that house. It's an effort which we started back now some 15, 16 months ago.
About 20 tar balls were found off Key West and are being tested to see if they came from the Gulf spill. A surprise announcement today from Indiana Republican Congressman Mark Sauter.
I announce that I'm resigning from the U.S. House of Representatives, as well as resigning as a Republican nominee for Congress in this fall's election.
Sauter says he had an affair with a member of his staff. His decision could hurt the Republicans' chances of holding on to the GOP-leaning district in northeastern Indiana. And you might want to pass on the hot dogs and bacon. A new study says a daily dose of processed meat raises the risk of developing heart disease by 42%. I'm Luke Russert, NBC News Radio.
Hey, I just woke up and my car was stolen.
I'll be happy to assist you.
The car was in the driveway. My wife's car was behind mine. I come out to get the newspaper. Her car's out in the street. So they pushed her car out to get to my car.
Oh, no.
Police department.
This is OnStar. I have a location on a stolen vehicle. It's just off of Bridler Brook Court.
Okay, we'll get units out there.
Look for OnStar on 15 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, and quality of life. You can call right now for one free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-747-0319. That's 1-800-747-0319. 1-800-747-0319.
Checking your daily TSP ticker. The latest numbers from May 17th, 2010. The G Fund gains 0.01 at $13.28. The F Fund loses 0.01 at $13.81. The C Fund rises 0.02 at $13.57. A rise of 0.02 for the S Fund at 18.23. The I Fund picks up 0.01 at 16.75. Your L Funds have some small gains. The 2040 up 0.01 at 15.80. The 2030 rises 0.01 at $15.63. The 2020 stays at 1547. The 2010 gains 0.01 at 1543. And the L income rises 0.01 at $14.07. Check your rates anytime, every day on federalnewsradio.com. Dimitri Sotis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This week on Agency of the Month, brought to you by ITT Defense.
The FAA runs an Office of Civil Rights. Now, part of the mission is to protect workers on the payroll, but they also look out for travelers. Fanny Rivera leads the Office of Civil Rights.
We are doing disability compliance reviews. When you go into the airport, the Office of Civil Rights will be looking and reviewing what are some of the issues with disabilities at the airport.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
Who did the FAA select to develop its next generation air traffic management system to manage 87,000 flights every day? ITT. ITT Defense has a single focus, deliver innovative technology solutions to governments worldwide. From next-generation imaging that integrates space, airborne, ground, and soldier sensors to energy systems that disrupt the enemy, ITT has the technology and experience to address the most pressing mission challenges. ITT Defense, doing essential things in extraordinary ways. Visit them at defense.itt.com.
Listen next week for a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, conversation with authors exploring ideas on improving government effectiveness. The U.S. federal government has been described as the world's largest and most complex entity, delivering a multitude of services while managing a diverse portfolio of projects. It has become ever more apparent that doing this effectively rests on solid project management practices. This topic and more will be explored with very special guests, Jonathan Weinstein and Timothy Jakes, authors of the recently published Achieving Project Management Success in the Federal Government.
Baseball is a game, but if you're an IT professional in the Baltimore-Washington corridor, you know what real competition is. In today's economy, you need a credential that makes a difference. The Online Masters in Information Systems from UMBC. Computing Research News nationally ranks UMBC among the top five major research universities for awarding IT degrees. Learn more about UMBC's Online Masters in Information Systems. For more information and an application, visit onlinems.umbc.edu today.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, every Friday morning at 11, brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, host Deborah Roth will be joined by Women in Federal Law Enforcement President Margie Moore to discuss WIFLE's annual conference.
Here's Charlie Weiscarver, Deputy CIO, Department of State, on the Federal Executive Forum on Virtualization and Data Center Management Strategies, sponsored by Riverbed.
You know, the real advantage of what we have here is that these data centers and this consolidation effort that we have underway, it's given the CIO much better understanding of its inventory out there. We have visibility now, and someone had mentioned this earlier, is the visibility into all the assets out there. So I think it's going to make the federal government and industry as a whole much more leaner.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
How do you consolidate IT without compromising performance? Make it happen with Riverbed. With our WAN optimization solutions, you can virtualize your government data center with ease. Plug and play in as little as 15 minutes. Cut IT costs up to 30%. Accelerate agency applications up to 100 times. And keep data safe and secure. Learn more and download a free white paper at riverbed.com/virtualization. Riverbed. Think fast.
When President Obama was elected, he promised to modernize the federal government, bringing 21st century thinking to a 20th century bureaucracy. On May 20th, join AFSIA Bethesda for a breakfast discussing the WhiteHouse.gov initiatives. This event will highlight how these online innovations have fostered transparency, accountability, and efficiency across the federal government. That's May 20th at the Bethesda North Marriott. To register, visit bethesda-afsia.org/maybreakfast.
In depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome back to the program for Tuesday, May 18th, 2010. I forgot what day it was. I'm excited to talk about the Management of Change Conference, as we've been doing all hour long, with Gary Galloway of the State Department, Prashant Gaur of the Defense Business Transformation Agency, and Mary Souther of Indus. And Mary, we're talking about the panel that will be included in the MOC conference next week about insourcing. Now, this is a sore spot for people in industry and in the agencies for different reasons. What is it that we should expect to hear when this discussion takes place next week?
We'd like both groups, industry as well as government, to discuss openly what the issues are, what the challenges are, what's driving them, so that they can understand and better meet what they're each trying to do. Because mm-hmm. if we don't have the dialogue, it will be a contentious issue.
Do you think that each side understands where the other is coming from and maybe doesn't want to acknowledge the good or bad points? Or is it really kind of the openings? I don't want to say opening salvo, because that indicates an implied conflict, whether you like it or not. But are we at the beginning of this conversation, or are we further down the line, do you think?
I think we're further down the line. And I think there is empathy on both sides of what the challenges are here, and particularly with the government, because the people that we're talking about, they view them as their employees, whether they work for industry or government.
Yeah.
So we want to do what's the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to have the dialogue to make sure that we address all the issues, that they're not unintended consequences, which there very much could be with an issue like this.
Mm-hmm. One of the panelists that you have on there is Alan Shvatkin from the Professional Services Council, who's been on the show a number of times. And I think I have a fairly good idea of what he'll have to say when it comes to insourcing. But, Gary, as you said, you're going for different voices, and you can see that as I scroll down through here and see what you have on the agenda there. Now, I would imagine that the discussion out of all of these that's taking place that's probably nearest and dearest to your heart is the cybersecurity discussion. I think 98.997% of people who work for the government are at least aware of the cybersecurity issue, so it probably wasn't hard for you to find people who wanted to come and talk about this.
Oh, not at all. And there's any number of experts in the field, because there's been a lot of attention focused on cybersecurity over the last couple of years. One of the problems that I face as a cybersecurity practitioner is an understanding of where we're going as a federal government. And I thought that one of the things that would be useful for this particular conference would be to bring together some of the movers and shakers who had not necessarily been out in the forefront before. And to that end, we looked to the national security staff, and we were able to get Chris Painter, who's the special assistant to the president for cybersecurity, to be one of our keynote speakers. Now, following that address on Monday night, on Tuesday, we're going to have a panel that's going to hopefully debate many of the issues that Chris brings up. And we've taken a few individuals who represent different viewpoints across the spectrum of cybersecurity and what should be done.
Mm-hmm. Karen Evans is the moderator of that panel. She knows a little bit about cybersecurity. She has some
just a little bit
background in that area, so a good facilitator for that. Now, the thing I don't know anything about is Bob Hirschfeld, the world's first cyber satirist. What in the world is that?
Bob Hirschfeld is a comedian who has a very funny way of making fun of the things that bureaucrats, office workers, and particularly computer nerds, as it were.
You're not a computer nerd, though.
It depends on who you ask.
Bob will help us laugh at ourselves.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a great idea. That just struck me as I looked at the list that you had lined up, because I didn't even know there was such a thing as a cyber satirist. That's an interesting job description. Prashant, I come back to the same thing and with you, and that is the concept of taking these people ideas and applying them instead of just talking about policy and just talking about regulations, which would be boring about 5 seconds after it started.
Sure.
And it looks like you're making it a point to not be doing that.
Absolutely.
To be talking about the people issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, one of the things which we are doing, again, as an organization, is to focus on what brings real value to the people on the ground, mm-hmm. primarily the government and the process, the government and the industry. So in anything we do, we are focusing on the how-to, and we want to kind of focus on the information which people can apply once mm-hmm. they go back to the workplace.
My guests, Gary Galloway of the State Department, Prashant Gaur of the Defense Business Transformation Agency, and Mary Souther of Indus on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back in a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose.
The Intelligence and National Security Report is brought to you by ManTech International Corporation.
ManTech has been providing IT services and solutions to the Air Force for more than 25 years, and they intend to deliver innovative and worldwide support to the upcoming NetSense 2 contract. They provide a full spectrum of net-centric services, including service-oriented architecture enterprise solutions, web service development, cybersecurity, network operations, and sustainment support. ManTech has been named one of the top 100 IT companies in the world by Business Week magazine.
Due to the high demand for ManTech's skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. Apply for openings today at ManTech.com. That's ManTech.com. ManTech, leading the convergence of national security and technology.
Getting things done more easily from more locations and more devices. That's the power Microsoft Office 2010 delivers to you and your agency. With Office 2010, federal workers will find rich and powerful new ways to efficiently deliver their best work, whether from your PC, phone, or web browser, at work, home, or on the road. Also, give life to your ideas with new data analysis and visualization features. Put the power of Office 2010 to work for you. Learn more at the Microsoft National Security Booth at this year's DOTIS Conference.
Insiders say the number of multiple award contracts is out of control. Why do so many vehicles offer the same exact services? Vendors say it's wasteful. Agencies say it's confusing. The administration wants to reduce costs through contracting, so what is OFPP doing about it? Join me, Jason Miller, tomorrow morning at 7:08 for my special report, Contract Overload. I got answers from OFPP, the Federal Acquisition Service, Congress, and industry experts. Contract Overload, tomorrow morning at 7:08 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And collaboration inside government and engaging citizens outside government, one of the topics that will be addressed at MOC next week, and one of the things that agencies have really been struggling with. Prashant Gaur of the Defense Business Transformation Agency, as you were setting this one up and thinking about we want to do this, what's the value? What does ACT have to add to the discussion about interacting with citizens on a person-to-person basis instead of just we're pushing information out and you just consume it as you want, but there's not a dialogue here?
If you look at the function of the government, we are ultimately in the service business. We exist to serve the citizens. So, for instance,
I'm in the Department of Defense, and we look at serving the warfighter as our main goal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at social media, it's something which everybody is used to, and we absolutely need the two-way collaboration, the communication between the citizens and the government to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we absolutely need to publicize what we are doing collectively again to bring it together. And yes, if there are things which we need to work on, for instance, there are certain topics which should be reserved to government only and some which are government and industry,
mm-hmm.
we just need to have a much more transparent way to have that communication.
Mm-hmm.
And that work is still going on.
Mary, this discussion has a little bit of a twist to it as far as what you're going to cover when it comes to the actual event itself, doesn't it?
Yes, we currently have on the IACT site, mm-hmm. the actgov.org website, people can vote on how they want us to drill down on this topic because it is fairly expansive.
Mm-hmm.
Do we address the trust issue, the content overload issue? We have citizens providing us all the input. Now, how do we manage it? What do we do with it? So
mm-hmm.
we're trying to gauge what do our audience members want to hear, and we'll base that on how many votes up or votes down we get on certain themes.
That's pretty cool. I think that it is gratifying to see how the agencies have taken to the concept of being able to receive information from citizens and not just push it out there. Because this is a pretty quick transformation. I mean, if you think back, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, there was really not a way to interact at that level with citizens to find out what they were thinking about, what they wanted to know, what they expected you folks to do. It's especially true at state with the blogs that people are working on at State Department. Has that been difficult to get some people in the organization to come along behind and say, I'm comfortable with the idea of being this out there, being this kind of exposed to the average citizen?
Well, interestingly enough, I was deputy director of our Office of E-Diplomacy at the time when we first pushed out the blogs and the wikis, and there was tremendous resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that particularly in the last year, when Secretary Clinton made it clear that she wanted to utilize all and every tool there that was available to communicate with the public, I think there's been tremendous enthusiasm within the agency in terms of communicating not just with the outside public, but with each other, which has been challenging at times.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to add citizen engagement, too. The government has transformed this to allow citizens to actually enter data on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Have the National Weather Service using people, and they provide them training on how to code the data and actually using citizen data. And we see EPA and USDA looking at that. So imagine people in the field entering environmental data or farmers entering data about the issues they see with land management.
And you mentioned the subject of trust, and that's an important element there because you've got to be confident that the information that people are giving you is accurate. You have to be able to analyze that information and quantify it or qualify it both.
Exactly.
To make sure that it's probably in January, it's probably not 98 degrees in Juneau. So if that's information we're being fed, we should be a little bit leery of that. One of the conversations taking place at Management of Change next week is about citizen engagement. More details about MOC at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And we'll wrap up our conversation when we return in a moment to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arink.
A multinational report is expected out this week that will point the finger at North Korea for the sinking of a South Korean warship. 46 sailors were killed on March 26th when a still unexplained explosion in the Yellow Sea split the 12-ton Corvette-class ship in half. The Cheonan, which is about the size of a U.S. frigate, was about 2 miles off the shore at the time of the sinking. Investigators think the North Korean military launched a torpedo. I'm J.J. Green.
If you've ever stumbled in the dark, did you ever stop to think how difficult it is for our military to see what they need to see and nothing else during night warfare? Airink has. Airink provides design solutions for night vision devices, helmet-mounted displays, and laser eye protection, just to name a few. They help all branches of our armed forces to see better, fly and land faster, and most importantly, more safely. Airink helps today's military forces become ready for tonight's warfare challenges. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Are you a health IT decision maker from government or industry? Then the HIMSS Government Health IT Conference and Exhibition is your can't-miss event. History is being made as dramatic changes and resources are making health information accessible to all, and this is your chance to be a part of it. The theme, Innovation 2010, on the threshold of meaningful use, gives you a front-row seat to the future of nationwide health information exchange. Meet government and industry decision makers shaping the future. Learn new strategies for connecting the health community. Get practical solutions for your toughest challenges. Be informed. Be inspired. Be there at the HIMSS Government Health IT Conference and Exhibition, June 15th and 16th at the Ronald Reagan Building. Go to govhealthitconference.com for more info. Again, that's govhealthitconference.com, where innovation meets meaningful use.
Wondering if you've chosen the wrong push-to-talk provider for your mission? Well, it's never too late to switch to Verizon. With the push-to-talk-capable BlackBerry Tor and America's largest push-to-talk coverage area, Verizon delivers the instant mobile voice connectivity and real-time data access your mission deserves, all on a device your people can depend on. To learn how you can put your mission on the map, call 1-800-561-6227 or visit verizonwireless.com/gov.
Do you need PDUs, CEUs, or CLPs? At ESI, you'll find continuing education opportunities to maintain your DAU, PMI, and NCMA certifications. Plus, ESI International's robust contract management, project management, and business analysis courses are backed by the George Washington University. Classes start early on weekends and are available anytime online. For more information or to register today, visit esifederal.com. Strengthen your career and build your resume. esifederal.com.
Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, to wrap up our conversation about the Management of Change Conference in Philly next week. And, Mary, one of the things that you told me about during the break that I think is interesting is this. You have a CXO mixer on the agenda here, and it sounds like an opportunity for people at really high levels of agencies to get a chance to talk to each other in an environment that really would not probably be possible if people were trying to make connections here in town.
Exactly. When we polled our audience members over the past few years, what's most valuable at these conferences? Why do you go? Talking to both government and industry. And again, it's them sitting down and talking. It's not listening to a couple people pushing information out. It's the dialogue. So we decided to dedicate a good portion of Tuesday to that dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be somewhat unstructured in that people won't know whose table they're sitting at from a government host perspective, because we don't want it to be someone following a specific person around to create that information flow. So mix up agencies, mix up industry people, listen to somebody who you don't normally get to hear.
Gary, do you think some of these events will take a more of a path like that? Because that, with the whole unconference concept, that seems to be pretty popular. People like exactly what Mary's talking about, is the idea that I have some kind of a guided knowledge of what will be discussed, but nobody's dictating to me or to the people that I wind up with where the discussion goes.
Yes, I think this is akin to our organization dipping its toe in the crowdsourcing waters.
Yeah.
I don't think that technically we're ready to do full-on crowdsourcing, but I think this is as close as we can get to finding out what's really interesting to the audience and getting those ideas out on the table and having them discussed.
Prashant, whether I'm an industry person or a government person, when I'm in the car coming back from Philadelphia next week after this is all over, what do you want to be in my brain other than I learned a lot and met a lot of neat people? What's the takeaway? What do you want me to go back to my agency or back to my company and be able to do with what I've got?
Ultimately, we are in this small big town called Washington, D.C., and we are all serving the citizens, serving the government, whether we are on the government side or the industry side. It's all about rising to the issues. You talked about it's all between the ears.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be focused on the issues, on the strategy, and work collectively to bring things to a head to transform the government.
Mm-hmm.
So each one of us can make a contribution, and we definitely want you to think about that as you drive back.
Mary?
And we'd like them to think, I am really glad I attended this conference, and next year I'm going to attend and bring some colleagues
and
with
spread
me.
The word, right?
Right.
Terrific. Mary Souther is Vice President of Business Development for Federal Civilian Homeland Security and Citizen Services Units at INDIS, and Gary Galloway, Deputy Director of the Office of Information Assurance at the Department of State, both co-chairs of the Management of Change Conference taking place in Philadelphia next week. Lots of information available about it at federalnewsradio.com. Gower, Director of Enterprise Integration at the Defense Business Transformation Agency and President of ACT. Thank you all very much for being here today. I appreciate your time, and I hope you have a successful and fun time next weekend. Philly's a great place to be. Lots of good stuff to do there in addition to this conference, so I hope it's very successful for you. The Dorbeck Insider is next on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Chris digging into a lot of issues for you this afternoon. He'll tell you about those right after the top of the hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thanks for listening. A brand new in-depth program tomorrow beginning at 1:00.